I ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. Title of the message this morning is Staying by the Stuff. Staying by the Stuff. I know I said something about capitalization of titles last week, so maybe we'll do a little English lesson. By is not capitalized because the preposition less than four words in a title is not capitalized. So I was fixing it for the benefit of those that care, which may not be many of you. But the importance of it this morning, staying by the stuff. If you will turn with me to the 25th chapter of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel and the 25th chapter. And to give a little bit of background of this scripture, so to save some time in reading this morning. Remember when David had been anointed king and Saul was still in power, all right? So Saul was still in power and David was kind of on the run with his men. And there was a man by the name of Nabal that was a very rich man. And he had lots of herds and flocks and things. And because David was in the area, his men that were with David were actually protecting those herds of Nabal. So when normally robbers would come in and steal some of the sheep, the robbers were kept at bay because of David's presence. And so David came to a place that they had some needs and they needed some food. And so he sent a request to Nabal asking for some hospitality. Could you give us some, help us out a little bit? And Nabal was very ugly with his response. The Word of God says that he was churlish. He was very rude in his response to David's men. And it was like, I am not helping you. And he did not send anything to them. The rest of the story, if you all recall, Nabal's wife, on the other hand, named Abigail, went and baked a lot of bread and tried to appease the situation. But here, when David got word that Nabal was so rude and unwilling to help them, even when their men had been a real asset to be in the area, I'd like us to turn to 1 Samuel then in the 25th chapter and read the 13th verse. So this is after David had gotten that news. David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. So David wasn't going to take this rude response sitting down. He's like, we've been helping this man. Warriors, put your swords on. So he told him, he said, get every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And they went up after David about 400 men. And 200 abode by the stuff. All right, so there were 600 men. 400 of them put on their swords. And they were going to go take care of Nabal and his men. You all, this was a rich man, so he probably had lots of people working for him. Probably lots. So they were going to go up because they were taking 400. It wasn't just 10 or 20 people going to take care of this problem. So they were, in essence, going to war with Nabal. And then there were 200 of the men that just stayed by the stuff. Do you know what the definition of stuff is? If you don't know, you can come look in my garage. Stuff. There's yard equipment there. There's lots of luggage. It's just stuff. Do y'all have a closet with just stuff? I actually looked up the Greek word, and you probably don't need to know the Greek to know what stuff is, or actually the Hebrew, I'm sorry. But you probably know what stuff is. But the definition in the Greek, or the Hebrew rather, it said something prepared, any apparatus, armor, bags, furniture, sacks, tools. That sounded like stuff to me. Because it's just a conglomeration of just things. Many of those things are necessary. So keep in mind what happened. 400 men put on their swords, men of war. And then 200 got to stay home by the stuff. Where would you want to be? I'd rather be putting on my sword and getting on my horse and let's go do something. I'm tired of sitting around. But there were 200 of them that stayed by the stuff. Do you know some people glamorize war? To some, war was glamorous, and to others, it's horrible. But some see the excitement of going and doing. And that's where I'd like us to look at a little bit of contrast here. Some were going to war, and some stayed by the stuff. And that war to some was going and doing and going to war. I can join the military and go to new places. And I can see new things and experience new cultures. And on one hand, that looks very glamorous, but you know, that's ignoring another side of it. In war, there's sickness and there's pain and there's not being at home with the comforts of home. There's death, there's starvation. There's a lot of horrible things that take place at war. Well, what happens when you leave your stuff? See, what would have happened if all 600 would have put on their swords? All 600 of them going to war, do you realize it would have left their stuff vulnerable? The robbers and the thieves could have come and stolen their stuff that when they came back from taking care of Nabal, and that's a different story, but when they came back, all of their stuff would have been gone. There would have been nothing to come back to. So understand, when there is a time of war, there is a time that people go out with their swords on, but there's also a time and a need for someone to be staying by the stuff. Because if no one stays by the stuff, there's nothing to come back to. We understand that? If no one stays by the stuff, staying by the stuff is not as glamorous as maybe going to war, but it is just as important. What happens to the farm of the traveling farmer? Not good crop, is there? The traveling farmer, and I believe in the proverb speaks about that. I went by the field of the slothful. See, the wall was broken down, the nettles had taken over. And why? Because there was a man that was traveling as one that traveled. In other words, he wasn't taking care of it. So what happens to the traveling farmer? What happens to the business owner who's always gone from his business looking for a new opportunity? What happens to his business there at home? It gets in a place of disrepair. The business isn't taken care of. Staying by the stuff, do you realize it's very important this morning to take care of things? To just the daily grind, the monotony of life. There's importance to taking care of those things. That life is not normally real glamorous, is it? You get up in the morning, well, I washed my hair yesterday and I brushed my teeth yesterday, and why do it again today? You know, it's just to take care of things. It's not real glamorous to wash the clothes and to go to work. What about your schoolwork? Is it glamorous? Yes, I get to go to school today. I get to do schoolwork today, or I get to go to work. Now I'm doing the same thing I did yesterday. Not real glamorous. But it's important, because when we neglect the daily monotony of life, if you will, we're going to lose the essence of what life is. So if you travel and think, well, we're going to go to new places and see new things, what are you going to have to come back home to? Things won't be in a state of repair, and life will not be good. So it's important that there is a place and a time to be staying by this stuff, as much lack of glamour as there is. There is a temptation when you're staying by the stuff and that daily grind, that daily maintenance, you know, feeding the sheep and milking the cow and plowing the field. You know, those that had gone with Nabal, those other men might have gotten up the next morning and, well, what are we doing? We're not doing anything. We're not doing anything. Wish I could have put my sword on and gone. Would have broken up the monotony of my day. What would have happened if they would have all, so let's all go. I think we already talked about what would happen. But very easily they could have gotten distracted from the stuff because it's there all the time. And so we'll just go out and go out and do something else. But the moment they leave the stuff's at risk. The stuff's at risk. Their job was not unimportant. Staying by the stuff is vital this morning. Some go to war and some are to stay by the stuff. But they're both very vital in life and in the work of God. It's very important this morning. While my brother's off fighting and defending the nation, so to speak, the temptation is to get occupied with other stuff because the stuff gets old. And so it's when the robber comes in and starts working. There is value this morning in staying right there. And I'd like us to understand what happened then. They stayed by the stuff. There's another instance in the scripture where someone stayed by the stuff. And it's over in 1 Samuel 30, and I'm going to give a little background here as well. The Amalekites, and this is found over in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. So the Amalekites had come in and taken a lot of things from David. They'd taken even some of the women and children and goods. And so there was a group of men that were going to go after the Amalekites. So they put their swords on and David led them out and they went out and they recovered all of their lost goods. They recovered their wives, they recovered the children, and here's something else to keep in mind. When someone doesn't stay by the stuff, what happens to the women and children who are there at home? See, 400 of the men went off to do battle, so to speak. They put on their swords, but if those 200 had not stayed by the stuff, their women and children would have been left vulnerable. All right? So now the Amalekites had come in and they had taken some of these women and children. David went out and they defeated the Amalekites. Not only did they recover everything that had been lost, they got the herds, the cattle and the sheep and all of the possessions of those invading Amalekites. So they came back from that battle much richer than what they started out. Okay, so we get the picture. Go out to war and they're spoils of war. You've heard that term, they're spoils of war. Went out and do battle and conquered lands, gained gold and silver and all these things. So they came back and they had a lot of goods in their possession. So there were some, we'll begin reading with verse 22. It called them wicked men of Belial, of those that went with David. And they said, because they did not go with us. Now these are some that stayed by the stuff. Because they did not go with us, we will not give them of the spoil that we recovered. Save to every man his wife and children. So we'll give them their wife and children back, obviously. But everything that we got, why are we going to give them some of the spoils? We were the ones that went out to battle. We were the ones that went to war. Our lives were the ones at stake. Why should we give the spoils to them? And David said, ye shall not do, in verse 23, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall be a part alike. And it was so from that day forth that he made it a statute and an ordinance of Israel unto this day. So, do you get a picture of what happened? Some went out to do battle and they came back with the spoils of war. And they said, why should I give it to my brother who stayed with the women and children? And David said, not so. You went out to battle. They stayed by the stuff, and we're dividing the spoils equally. I think there's a spiritual lesson for us this morning. If we were all to go to war, there would be nothing to come home to. If we were to all travel, there would be nothing to come home to. If we were to go, the women, the families, they would be at risk because no one was staying by the stuff. And so David recognized the importance of staying by the stuff. Sometimes we can put a lot more value on going out to war. But I want to emphasize in the Lord this morning that there is just as much value as staying by the stuff when it's ordained of God. Because it takes everybody. Everybody filling their place. There are men of war and there are men that need to stay by the stuff. Those are both vital, and that's why David said everybody gets a share and share alike. So when something happens out on the battlefield and there's a victory there, it's not only the victory of the warrior, it's a victory of the one that stayed by the stuff. Because the only way that the warrior would be free to go to battle was if there was someone else he could trust to take care of things at home. So, what do you want to do this morning? You want to go out to war or do you want to stay by the stuff? You realize we all have different calls this morning. We are all called to different places in our personal lives and also in the body of Christ. But I want us to know that even here in the Old Testament, it was placing great value on those that stayed by the stuff. Because without faithfulness, you see, it would be easy to let it go. It's like, okay, I'm supposed to stay by this stuff. In other words, I didn't get to go to war. No, you got to stay by this stuff. And maybe it's not as glamorous, but you know what? There's also some heartaches that you're not going to have to face either. But you're going to have to endure some monotony. You're going to have to endure some things there at home when maybe a change would not be nice. And yet, it is everyone working together that brings in the spoil. If we want spiritual spoil this morning, it's going to be by filling our place in the body of Christ, recognizing that all of us are called to different places. Historically, there is a there's some background even before David. When the Midianites under Moses were defeated, they divided the spoils into two parts, all right? And they gave some to the congregate, those that went out to war, and they gave some to those that stayed at home by the stuff. So there was some background even there, but the warrior could not go. The warrior cannot go. And I'm repeating myself, but I'm doing it intentionally. The warrior could not go to battle if there was not someone trustworthy to stay by the stuff. Because if the warrior goes and he's counting on his brother to stay by the stuff, and his brother wanders off, and the stuff is left by itself, it's vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. So who here this morning is willing to stay by the stuff? This morning, there is a time to call to war. There's a time for that. Maybe it's next Sunday. I don't know. There is a time to go to war. But there is a time to stay by the stuff. And it may not be glamorous, but I want you to know this morning it is vital and it is important and it is appreciated. Those that are going have great appreciation for those that are staying by this stuff. So what is the application very practically for us? What does this mean? If I'm staying by this stuff, what does it mean? In the book of Romans, in the third chapter, in the sixth verse, or the third verse rather, he said, "For I say through the gift given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, we being many are one body in Christ, and one member of another." So we all have different callings this morning. We have different place to fill, and we are all to fill our place humbly, very humbly, but we are to fill it faithfully. And diligently. 1 Corinthians, and this is a very familiar passage, that it addresses some of the same concepts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So are any of us the same here this morning? We all look different. We have different personalities. We have different callings. We have different giftings in the body of Christ. The Lord has a place for each and every one of you to fill in the body of Christ. He has a place for you to fill, and He wants us to fill it faithfully and diligently. The Lord wants us to fill our place that He can count on us. You know, one of the things that's difficult about this generation is it's difficult to count on anybody. When someone's supposed to be at work and people just, well, I had something else going, so they don't show up at work. How's the work supposed to get done if people won't be faithful to show up to work? If people as well, I have something else, and you can never just count on, and so then we say, oh, you just can't count on them. Be careful if you set an appointment, you can't count on them. Do you know the Lord wants to be able to count on us this morning? There's diversity. We're not all called to the same office. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the 12th verse. For as the body is one and hath many members, all members of that one body, being many, are one, so also is Christ. And then he goes on to give some instruction. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body? In other words, what he's saying is that there's one body, but there's an ear, and there's a mouth, and there's hands, and there's feet. You know what makes it really difficult when the feet try to do the job of the hands? I'm not going to ask any of you this, but have you ever picked things up with your feet? You know, so you don't have to bend over. You just take your toes and pick them up and lift it up. I guess I won't demonstrate too much. But you understand that hands were made to pick up. You can pick up a few things with your feet or with your toes. But, you know, hands were made to do that. And if you're trying to pick things up with your feet, do you realize that you're not going to be able to be walking? Right? Because feet were made to walk. Hands were made to pick up. Ears were made to listen. Which one do you want to get rid of? Which one is not important this morning? So which one of us here in the congregation is not really that important? Have you ever thought, maybe has the enemy ever came and told you that you're really not important? Nobody really cares. Whether I'm here or not, whether I do or not, it doesn't matter. We are part of a body, and we are knit together. And when one member suffers, we all suffer. And you may not think anybody else is suffering. You may think this is just me that's suffering. It is true when one member suffers, we all suffer because we need one another. You are important this morning. You are necessary. You are part of the body. And it would be, and that's why Paul gave the illustration there for one part of the body were to look at one and say, we have no need of thee. No, I've shared before, I preached a message entitled The Little Toe. I almost cut mine off one time, and I'll tell you, you say, who needs a little toe? But it indeed affected the whole body. If you saw me walking, I was preaching in my sock feet. It affected the whole body. Because it affected me and it was just a little toe. But if I'm going to be a little toe, then I want to be the best little toe I can be. And you know what I'm saying? If the Lord, whatever the Lord has called us to, let's do the best we can. But maybe if I want to go out to war and the Lord called me to stay by the stuff, I say it's not real glamorous. Guess it's not important. No, it's vital. And the rewards of those that go out to the war are the rewards of those that are at home, staying faithfully and diligently by the stuff. Whether it's, you know, I say, well, he gave apostles and pastors and evangelists and teachers. And you know, well, what if I'm not that? Well, what about someone to kind of take care of the chapel, the janitor? To take care of the sound system. And what about someone that decorates things and keeps things looking good? And what about the yard man and the maintenance person? And we say, well, I'm not even doing any of those. Well, maybe we could do more of that. But what about just when the doors are open, to be there to stay by the stuff. Because you realize when someone comes in, what happens? Say, well, the pastor's gone. Who's going to stay by the stuff? Do you realize that when the pastor's gone, it's so much, it's important to stay by the stuff? And then when a visitor comes and you think, well, it doesn't matter if I'm here or not, and then someone comes, maybe they're searching for something, but they come in and no one's there because people thought it wasn't important to stay by the stuff. And so they'll go somewhere else where it looks like something's actually happening. But do you realize how important it is, your even your presence? Because do you realize when you're staying by the stuff and the thief comes and he sees someone is at home, he's going to go look for somewhere else more vulnerable. Do you realize that happens in the body of Christ and in a congregation as well? That just our presence. You may say, but I don't do a lot. Well, maybe the Lord has more for us to do. But just our presence is so important, and it adds to the synergy of the congregation and of the body of Christ, that I'm staying by this stuff and I don't want the enemy to get away with his lie that it doesn't matter. Because see, those that stay by the stuff get just as big of a portion as those that go out to war. Because without people faithful by all the stuff, and do you realize that what happens is if the evangelist goes and the pastor's gone and no one is by the stuff and the pastor comes back, and guess what he's going to come back to? Nothing. Because no one stayed by the stuff. So there's nothing to come home to. So what's more important, to go or to stay? It's all important. And it's important to stay by the stuff. Give a little example. I say this carefully, but on some of the trips that we've gone on, we haven't been able to take everybody that we would like to take. Okay, so the other a few months ago, Renee and I were walking down the hallway. We were at the Guthrie meeting, and there was a list of jobs that needed to be done. All right, cleaning the bathrooms, those real glamorous things, you know. Not so. But there were jobs that needed to be done. Empty the trash and clean the bathroom and do this. And as Renee and I walked by and I looked at it, and there were some young people whose names were on that, I told Renee, I said, those are the people that we need to go on trips with us. Those are the people. How are you going to figure out who goes when you can only take three? Go look and see who's been taking care of the stuff. Because it's not glamorous. I remember going to the altar one time as a young person. It was a dedication service, and I was wanting to consecrate, and the person that came, well, you know, there's bathrooms that need to be cleaned, and that's not what I had in mind. I mean, I was wanting to do something more than that, but you know what? I'm still emptying the trash sometimes. You know, I'm still changing the paper towels or whatever. I mean, but because that's all part of it. Because it's important that someone is taking care of things and staying by this stuff, and it's vital. So if you will allow me, and I try not to use our personal experiences so much that you think we're talking about ourselves, but would you give me a little liberty this morning to share something? Okay, so Project Christmas Blessing was in January. And a while back, someone told us, they said, wow. They said, just to see that ministry and everything that was being done, and it was like, this is something. Well, I'm going to give a little bit of balance and perspective to some things. Yes, there were thousands of people that were reached with a simple gospel message. There were thousands, literally thousands of children that were given food and giving clothing in cold weather. That was wonderful. But do you realize that when you leave home, there's discomfort, there's disappointments, there's heartaches? I've been on the mission field so lonely before, and battling the devil by myself. There's affliction, and my daughter is still sick 3 months later, 4 months later from coming back from Africa. I want to tell you, it's not all glamorous to go. It's not. It's not all chicken dinners and, oh, thousands of people being saved or hundreds being saved. There's a lot of disappointment and tears and heartache and just wishing you could be in your own bed with some security and just to stay by the stuff. But that's another side, but here's the thing that I wanted to get to, is that the only way that people were able to be reached with the gospel, the only way that someone was able to be handed, a family that was very poor, a box of food and some flour and some rice, was because someone else had stayed by the stuff and given donations and had sacrificed to give the money to purchase the goods to give to the poor. So who is to reap the reward? You get the point? You say, wow, that's really doing a lot. But do you realize it's really not? It's just filling a small little part in a larger scheme of things, because there were others who were willing to stay by the stuff, even in the local congregation. So then we were gone, but you know, you kept on because there were people willing to stay by the stuff. So what was more important, going or staying by the stuff? How can you value that? They're both important. They're both necessary. They're both needful, because you can't have one without the other. How can we minister if someone doesn't put on their sword? But how can someone put on their sword if there's not someone just as consecrated, just as willing to sacrifice when they might rather be doing something else to say, I'm going to stand by the stuff? I hope the message is getting across this morning. Staying by the stuff may not look as glamorous, but it is just as important. And that's why David said the spoils go to everyone. So when there are souls saved, when there are people fed, when people get the gospel, it is not just the one that went out there, it's those that were home, steady, faithful, consistent, supporting the minister, supporting the work of God, staying by the stuff, being there so when people come, that you can be here to encourage one another, that life can keep flowing here and not just looking over there. Because this is where real life is, isn't it? Just daily relationships, paying bills, temptation, that's life. Someone needs to be faithful by the stuff, and we can't all be the hands and the feet and the ears and the mouth, but they're all important, and when someone is gone, there's so much more need for someone to step up and stand in the gap. And if you ever feel like you're not doing anything, I want you to know this morning that your faithful presence is vital, because without it, things start falling apart. We need more people to be willing to stay. Yes, is there a need for more to put on their sword? Absolutely. But not everybody. There's a need for consecrated people to stay while you go, I'm going to stay by the stuff in faithful. And you know what? When you come back, I hope there's a little bit more stuff to come back to than when you left. It's working together for the cause of the kingdom of God. In closing this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, he said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, diligent, consistent, having stewardship, staying by the stuff, taking care of it, faithful in service, faithful and true in doctrine and in life, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And whether it's at the battle's front or whether it's staying by the stuff, the Lord wants us to put him first in our life. So if you go to work, you know, thinking about Project Christmas Blessing, that took place because someone went to work. That happened because someone went to work and made some money. That happened because someone was willing to sacrifice for that to be done. So you see, there's so many different components of the work of God, of the body of Christ. And you this morning are a vital part of the body of Christ. So Lord, if you call me to put on my sword and get on my horse, so to speak, to go to war, I want to do it faithfully. And I want to give it all I've got. But Lord, if you call me to stay by the stuff while my brother goes, and it looks like I'm just, you know, I'm just kind of here in my quiet place and just staying by the stuff, the only way your brother can go is because of your faithfulness and your diligence and your hard work, that you can keep living the life, holding the true doctrines of God, living righteously, sacrificing for the cause of God. And that means when we come together as a body, we complement one another. We're not clashing. We're not, well, why aren't you doing what I'm doing? Because I'm not called to do what you're doing, and you're not called to do, but working together. It's really important. So I just want to say thank you all for staying by the stuff. Some of you may be going out to war, but for those that are staying by the stuff, you are so important and so vital, and there's a place for all of us in life to be staying by the stuff at periods of life. So God bless you all. Let's be found faithful. Amen.